All right, I am your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Myself, Rachel Keene, conservative mama. I had a text message come in a moment ago that said, you're really saying the Wuhan virus was manufactured? No.
Have they not worked?
That one's pretty well, you know, that's pretty well known at this point, folks.
Yeah.
It did not
the
come
National
from some...
The National Institute of Health in 2017 was talking about working with
this was
virus.
Not some sort of a mutant thing from... An animal that just showed up and here we are. No, this thing was manufactured, folks.
Yeah.
There's very much proof of that today. In fact, that's what Rand Paul and Fauci were debating back and forth last week, you know, pretty much in depth. And really, Rand Paul sort of, if you would, let the cat out of the bag and said, you know, here's the paper trail behind this thing. In fact, Fauci, not only did you know about this thing being manufactured, it's because of you it was.
Yeah.
It's funny how we're not wearing masks now.
That's what got me. And that's why I called my mom and I said, isn't that weird that we have this huge debate with Rand Paul and Fauci? And then it's later, you know, the next day it's released that the National Institute of Health was experimenting with this virus and it was released out of the Wuhan lab or whatever. And then the next day the CDC says no masks.
Well, I think that combined with the crappy jobs report we had.
Yeah.
And the fact that the economy isn't recovering.
Yeah, true.
And all of the stimulus they're talking about isn't working. I think all of that combined said, listen, somebody somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know who.
Right.
Because,
like,
by the way, there was a little bit of an argument between the White House and the CDC on even them making the announcement when they did. That was big news last week as well. So somebody somewhere just finally said, you know what? I've had enough. We're going to get this thing moving forward no matter what. And they did.
Right. Because there was a lack of communication between the White House and the CDC.
Yeah, White House was mad at the CDC for releasing it the way they
did. Because Biden, like 12 hours prior, said, here's the rules. You either wear a mask. No, get vaccinated. If you don't get vaccinated, wear a mask.
And the next day, if you're vaccinated, you don't need a mask.
Yeah, I was like, what? Think the people that are listening to the CDC, they're like trying to follow. I don't listen, so.
I don't either, but.
But if you're trying to follow, how difficult it must be.
But by the way, if you're someone out there saying that what we're saying is wrong, prove it and show me otherwise, because all the facts literally point to what Rand Paul said last week, and I don't think anybody, including Fauci himself, has denied that.
No, he's not denied it.
There's been no denials that have come out about what we just talked about at all. So, yeah, folks, that's the reality is, and by the way, we've been saying this now for, I don't know, my show and others, for probably a year plus, that this thing wasn't some slip of the, you know, lab and something that, you know, came from some, you know, wet market. While I will admit, and I said this a year ago, those wet markets are disgusting, nasty places, and it would not shock me.
Mm-mm.
I did say this a year ago, actually a year plus ago, last March I said this. It would not have shocked me if something had come out of those wet markets and what they do there and so on. But we since have learned that, no, it wasn't the wet market that caused that. It was, in fact, a manufactured virus.
And the reason why, because they were experimenting with the coronavirus already, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were messing with it and playing around with it. It started actually in North Carolina. They started doing gain-of-function research there. And then the United States government was like, hey, this is getting too risky. So then they said, okay, let's move it over to Wuhan. And they moved it over to the Wuhan lab there. And they continued playing around with the coronavirus, trying to make it more powerful. And look at where we are now. So
Steve House just sent me a text message, by the way. Very, very good point, Steve. Thank you for noting this. I hadn't thought this. If the U.S. government manufactured the virus or contributed to having manufactured the virus, then they'll probably see a case for the United States government to pay reparations for everyone who has suffered under the virus because it was made by the government.
But that's why they moved it.
That's why they absolved it from.
Yeah, they moved it over to Wuhan. That's why it's not in North Carolina anymore, because that's where it actually started.
Yeah, but here's a question. If it's still found that the, you know, and National Institute of Health, the organization that Fauci is in charge of.
Well, he was paying a guy to do the research on it.
If he bypassed rules and regulations. Now, this is where it would probably absolve the government.
Okay.
And it would probably come back on Fauci and the individuals that maybe worked inside of his department. Would be if the powers that be didn't know this was going on and Fauci took it upon himself to make the payments to make this stuff work. Well, and Steve, maybe if you're listening, you can inform me of that. And by the way, feel free to call back in if you'd like and explain what your thoughts are on this. But if it's determined that Fauci went around the rules, quote unquote, in getting this funded, which, by the way, I think he did. Granted, he's got a budget of his own that he can, you know, decide where it goes and so on. But if he sort of went around things in a malfeasant way,
okay,
and it's determined that he did so, then the lawsuits probably don't go against the U.S. government themselves, or U.S. government itself. It goes against Fauci and the NIH, right?
Yeah.
I'm not an attorney, so I don't have any idea, but...
And
but yeah, for those
of you
out there saying this isn't the case, it is.
I'm reading here from the Gateway Pundit just now, Dr. Fauci seems to still be funding gain-of-function research. The Chinese military is involved in this research as well. Dr. Lawrence Sullen.
Folks, by the way, for those of you that are listening, if you've never heard of biological warfare, go look it up. And if you think the United States government, including those of the likes of Fauci, have not been involved in biological warfare... then I've got some really great swampland down in Florida that I'd love to chat with you about, or some obscure Bitcoin, you know, cryptocurrency I'd like to talk to you about, because the reality is if you believe that, you'll believe anything.
Hmm.
The U.S. government has been researching and developing biochemicals. Probably we're one of the ones that invented it, if you really want to get down to it.
And it is remarkable how we got the vaccine this fast, let's just be honest. I mean, if we're going to go there.
Well...
I mean, you know, I know we waived a lot of FDA staff and it's an emergency use authorized.
There's been stories that have been talking about how a lot of that research was already there and they were already working on a lot of those things prior that it just got fast-tracked when this came along. And you know what? I can buy that one.
Yeah.
But please don't tell me this thing came from some monkey and it was passed through a wet market onto us then as humans, because that's about as far-fetched as it gets.
Right.
Didn't work that way, folks. Steve just said, anytime you're employee of an organization and Fauci is an employee of the U.S. government, it's still going to blow through to the U.S. government because they employed him. They also provided the money, even though he directed it. That's true, by the way. The other question is, why are private organizations involved in this? Great question, Steve. These are great questions, by the way.
Yeah.
And so again, for those of you that maybe don't believe some of what we're saying, ask yourself those same questions.
Yeah.
Why? And by the way, as United States citizens, we should be asking why a lot.
Yes, it's important
of every organization, even the ones we believe in.
Yes.
We should be asking why.
Yes,
it's you know, a side note. I know a lot of you listening are not necessarily Christians or have faith, but it's the same reason why every Christian, and Charlie, you and I were raised this way. It's how Charlie and I were raised, which was when you go to church and you listen to the preacher. You carry a Bible not because you don't necessarily believe what the guy at the pulpit's going to be saying, but you bring it so that you can keep everything in check, follow along, and know exactly what's going on. So again, you can ask those questions, why?
Right.
So even the things you believe the most in, i.e.
Right.
your faith, you're still asking the questions, why?
Yeah, you should question. Always be questioning. That's what I teach my kids. Always be questioning.
But yet we're now growing this entire generation of don't ask that question.
It's insane.
Are we not?
Oh, yeah, no.
I mean, literally.
Curiosity is a sign of intelligence. Like, it's amazing to me the people that aren't curious about this, that don't want to know how this thing started, that don't want to know,
the truth. The last hour, we played the man on the street from back east where they're talking to these people that are vaccinated, still wearing masks.
Yeah.
They are people that are not asking why.
Yeah. Don't you want to know the truth? I mean, I genuinely want to know the truth. Even if it proves me wrong, I want to know the truth.
Me too.
I'm just designed that way.
That's how I am. I want to know.
So really quick here, the first study, they pulled this study up in 2015.
Okay.
The Nature magazine published that they were working on gain of function. A SARS-like coronavirus that was circulating in horseshoe bats. So they started to experiment gain of function. This was published in 2015.
Okay.
So we know that they were experimenting and trying to get this thing to see how powerful it could be. And it got out of control, I guess. And here it is. And this is not, I mean, Tucker Carlson actually did a whole segment on this in May 10th, supposedly. I didn't see it. But he went off about this same stuff. Like, it's all coming out now. It's not, it's all here. It's all here. And published documents of this stuff and people saying, openly talking about, yes, working with the coronavirus and trying to make it more powerful.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and actually play a really great ad now that we have from the Army. And we'll also play the counterpart in Russian for what their ad actually is.
So sad.
We'll wake you guys up when we come back. Let's just say that. So affordable interest mortgage is next. Kurt's going to join me at 5 o'clock. We're going to talk about appraisals and how that works and what happens if you have an appraiser that you don't think appraised your house correctly. There's lots of things there that we can actually do. And Kurt's going to inform us of all of that when he joins us at 5 o'clock. In the meantime, though, if you need anything from Kurt, 720-895-0500. All right. Go Army! Emma has received the call.
Oh my gosh, no.
To now go to the Army. So we're going to play the new Army ad, and then I'm going to follow it up by the Russian ad, which, yes, is in Russian, but and I'll describe the ad for you when we're playing it, because otherwise it'll be hard. But this one's pretty easy. Now, I want to set this up. This ad that you will probably see nationally here before long is more of a cartoon versus seeing, you know, young men and women in the Army doing the things they do, the typical ads we've seen in the past where they're actually in their job and they're either flying a jet or they're out on the Coast Guard, you know, or they're on an aircraft carrier or whatever the case may be. You know, we've seen those ads in the past. This is different than that because this is done in a very cartoonish, well, it is a cartoon.
Yeah, and then at the very end, you see like the real Emma person. Who is now enlisted in the Army.
So let's play this and you can get an idea.
You're going to play the whole...
Yeah, I'm going to wake everybody up. This is a woke ad. We need to make sure people are woke. Okay. Come on.
Are you playing the Russian ad first?
No, I'm going to play the American ad first.
Okay.
Because then I'm going to tell you what the Russians are doing. But
Yeah,
no, we got to wake people up.
Yeah,
come on, Rachel.
Get woke.
We're not woke, so we have to make them woke.
No.
All right, here we go. It's just showing different faces now in the cartoon.
Okay.
Called The Calling.
Here
this is The Calling.
Here we go.
This is the story of a soldier who operates your nation's Patriot missile defense systems.
It's a cartoon, remember?
It begins in California. With a little girl raised by two moms.
Yay. I feel so secure now.
That's important.
Yes, very.
Although I had a fairly typical childhood, took ballet, played violin, I also marched for equality. I like to think I've been defending freedom from an early age.
Stick that fist in the air.
Yes.
When I was 6 years old, one of my moms had an accident that left her paralyzed. Doctors said she might never walk again. But she tapped into my family's pride to get back on her feet.
By the way, great.
Eventually standing at the altar to marry my other mom.
So
sweet. With such powerful role models, I finished high school at the top of my class and then attended UC Davis, where I joined a sorority full of other strong women. But as graduation approached, I began feeling like I'd been handed so much in life, a sorority girl stereotype. Sure, I'd spent my life around inspiring women, but what had I really achieved on my own? One of my sorority sisters was studying abroad in Italy. Another was climbing Mount Everest. I needed my own adventures, my own challenge. And after meeting with an Army recruiter, I found it. A way to prove my inner strength and maybe shatter some stereotypes along the way. I'm U.S. Army Corporal Emma Malone Lord, and I answered my calling.
All right, what calls you is how it ends. What calls you? That is the new Go Army ad.
Right.
Now, again, not taking any away from
her great...
No
mention of America.
No?
No mention of love of country.
Or our freedoms.
No mention of defending our freedom. It was about her
and her calling.
And her calling and the fact that she had two moms.
Right. Okay, so we're going to switch gears.
Okay.
We're going to the Russian ad, which...
It's in Russian.
This won't
so
be
can't.
The full thing, I don't think,
I know.
Because it's sort of abbreviated. But you'll get the idea as I describe it. So this
now,
ad.
Now let's give him a visual though.
Yeah.
Okay. This Russian guy is talking about his experience in the Army. He is cut.
He's ripped.
He's ripped.
He's got his hair shaved, of course, because he's in boot camp.
Strapping looking.
Russian.
Yeah, we're doing tons of physical exercise, like push-ups, sit-ups, doing all of this incredible, physical, challenging
it's
stuff.
It's actually showing the Russian Army in its, you know, in what it does.
Right.
Okay, so here we go.
Что ты знаешь о себе? На что ты способен? Вопросы могут остаться без ответов, но разве ты сможешь узнать себя, познать границы?
By the way, I doubt if this guy's talking about his childhood and two moms.
I doubt very seriously if that's the case in this ad.
I don't speak Russian, but I doubt this is here.
Своих возможностей. К черту границы. А без боя нет победы. Но на самом деле...
Jumping out of an airplane now.
Задача выследить врага.
He's shooting up someplace in the cold Russian front.
Oh, and then we have
this one.
Yeah, then ours it goes straight into ours.
Then ours goes right into the...
It's a huge contrast.
It's like opposite.
That's just an understatement. It leaves you, after you watch the two, it leaves you, like, sad.
No, it leaves you with the feeling of we're screwed.
Yes.
That's what it leaves me with the feeling of.
Right.
We're dead. We're done.
Because if you look at our ad, we are attracting beta males...
somebody says really quick.
Beta males, and then women that are woke.
Well, this is the tweet that went out in response to this.
Yeah.
By John Hawkins. I don't know who John Hawkins is, but this is pretty good.
Yeah.
Russians are building a military focused on killing people and breaking things.
Right.
We're apparently building a military focused on being capable of explaining microaggressions and critical race theory to Afghani tribesmen.
Right. Yeah, and I read another tweet or something. Somebody responded. They're like, other people are not going to have to fire a shot. They're just going to have to misidentify them with pronouns. Say the wrong pronoun.
And by the way, here's some servicemen and women that actually said, no question, after serving for over a decade, this is hard to watch.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those are military veterans that are now saying that, folks.
Yeah.
By the way, whatever army person was behind this, you're a bozo.
Right.
Sorry, you're the marketing department at the U.S. Army. You're a bozo.
Right.
Whoever approved this ad, you're a knucklehead.
And the CIA did something too. I don't know if you saw that one, but the CIA. I'm serious. I know it's getting
weird. What they do now?
They put out one where this woman was talking. She was talking about her race, and she was like Hispanic, and then she talked that she was cisgender, and
no, in other words, she doesn't know who she is.
Yes. Yes, so that was pretty much the ad. Like, she was cisgender and she was a woman.
Her and Demi Lovato, and maybe they can get together.
Yeah, probably.
Them.
Yeah.
Them can get together.
Yeah, they.
Them, thems. them. How do I say this, Charlie? Them. The two of them can
Those
get together.
Two thems.
The two thems can get
the
together.
The two thems.
There we
It'll
go.
Just be titled thems.
The two thems.
Yeah. So that, and the CIA put that out.
Oh,
jeez. So something's going on here where they're trying to really attract a certain type.
We're doomed.
Yeah, and think about this: the alpha male out there that wants to fight, that wants to defend, they're not going to sign up for something like this because they're going to get in trouble if they misidentify, if they use the wrong pronoun. Like, I'm serious. It's clearly intentional.
Oh yes, of course it is.
And it's intended to weaken.
Yes.
You can't look at these two and not see. Strong versus
weak. A stark
weak.
Difference?
Right. It's strong and weak.
Golden Eagle Financial, folks, where you don't want to be weak is in your finances. And I've said this for several weeks now. If you've not heard from your financial planner, your advisor in the last year through COVID, you need a new one. Literally. If you've not heard from him, give Al a call today. I'm serious. KLZradio.com is how you find him, or 303-744-1128.
Before you make any decisions about specific strategies to collect your retirement funds, you need to picture yourself in retirement. Al Smith, founder of Golden Eagle Financial, meets with plenty of people who've never thought about how they will spend their retirement years. So he starts every consultation with an exercise in imagination. You probably have a plan bouncing around in your brain somewhere. Starting a business, traveling overseas, volunteering at your church, going on a mission trip, moving closer to family. Al will help you to envision, after decades of hard work, finally having enough time to do what you want. As you describe your future goals, Al will establish a realistic projection of what you'll need in retirement. Start planning early so most of your retirement income can be tax-free. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundation Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
All right, Extreme Auto Repair is up next, folks. If you need anything done to your vehicle, it's a place to go. Don't forget Memorial Day, which is just around the corner. If you're heading out, doing anything at all along those lines, and you want to get even the trailer looked at, that your camper, your trailer, whatever it happens to be, please get that handled. You do not want to be that guy on the side of the road that's broke down on Memorial Day weekend. handle that now. Go to klzradio.com, look for Extreme Auto Repair there. Don't forget, if you actually go there and then fill out their form, you can either receive a free wiper blade, a set of, or a tire rotation. 303-841-1071.
Go with your gut. You know when an estimate from a mechanic doesn't feel right. Maybe they're telling you to fix a bunch of stuff you didn't even know was broken. Maybe their prices seem surprisingly high. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will give you a second opinion for free, so you know what's reasonable and what's not. They can typically beat the prices of their competitors, but they won't hold it against you if you decide to go back to the first guy. Either way, you have the peace of mind. The team at Extreme Auto Repair wants to keep you safe and keep your vehicle on the road longer, but they never want to pressure you into repairs that you don't really need. So with every estimate, the team at Extreme Auto Repair will give you a priority list, showing you all of your recommended maintenance items in order from the most to least important. That way, you decide what you want to take care of now and what can wait until later. Free second opinions at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
This happens to me far more than I think it should. Hi, this is Richard Beatty, KLZ 560. I will find a word that applies and form an acrostic that becomes a teachable moment. Today's word, boys and girls, is track. Think of it. I invest in Fitbit to track my steps, calories burned, duration, and miles. I track my money and investments, and I track my projects and my progress. I track my thoughts, responsibilities, and my actions, my creative ideas, and my knowledge. T-R-A-C-K. Integrity is the connective tissue between who I am at home, through my work, and in my community. Are you tracking? Track where you go online. klzradio.com/accountable.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
The mass conflict at stores and offices isn't going away. I have not been told I'm allowed to take my mask off outside of the studio. Companies are still afraid, I guess. OSHA hasn't changed its guidance, but CDC has.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Rachel Keene, conservative mama with us today as well. Andrew Gruhl is back with us now. Andrew, welcome back. How are you today, sir?
Hey, thanks for having me back. You know, I love being on here.
I love having you. You're a great guest. You're an American chef, television personality as well. You appeared as a judge on Food Network, the Food Truck Face-Off, and you're also the founder and CEO of an executive chef, by the way, of Slapfish, a seafood restaurant based out of Huntington Beach, California. Nice. So as always, it's a joy having you. Hey, bring us up to speed on what's happening in the restaurant world. We just saw what happened on Friday here in Colorado. Restaurants now are finally at full capacity, Andrew, and some are requiring masks, some are not, but I'll tell you, the majority of them are starting to fill up, which is a good thing, but talk to us about that.
Of course. The restrictions are obviously still very, varied across all states.
Right.
In California, we're only at 50% capacity. Others are completely wide open. You know, what we're seeing, of course, right now is that with all the restaurants beginning to reopen, those that can, there's a significant number of restaurants, probably more than 20% of all restaurants nationwide that will not be able to reopen. But what we are seeing now is that, businesses are picking up and labor is really tough right now. Restaurants are having a hard time around the board trying to hire. Now, I should mention it's entry level employees, right?
These are
your people, your bus boys working the counter, dishwashers, entry level cooks. A lot of times, like here in California, right? These are people who are second jobs. They're struggling actors, actresses, high school students, first job for many. Stepping stone positions, right? And it's just not happening. So you're seeing, of course, across the board, restaurants offering $1,000, $2,000 hiring bonuses. Now, it's affecting the entire supply chain because it's not just the restaurants themselves.
Right.
I talk to my distributors all the time. They can't get people to pack the trucks.
Right.
They can't get people to drive the trucks. And it goes all the way up the chain of custody. So it's a real interesting situation right now.
And, you know, one of the things I appreciate you just said a moment ago, which for some odd reason there's folks out there that don't quite understand this. There's a lot of those jobs you mentioned a moment ago, Andrew, that are, you know, either a second job, a part-time job, a job that you have when you're doing something else where you need just some extra income. In a lot of cases, they are not meant to be a lifelong career. So, no, they do not pay lifelong career wages, right, because those businesses can't afford to pay those types of wages for those types of jobs. Let's just face it. So I appreciate what you said there, because they are stepping stone jobs. Doesn't mean that you can't move up either in that particular company, that restaurant, whatever it happens to be. But, you know, to your point, these are stepping stone jobs. And for some odd reason in this country, we have forgotten, and in a way, we've minimized those jobs, Andrew, which I don't think is fair.
Yeah, and I took a lot of heat. You know, I was on Tucker a couple weeks ago and Laura Ingraham, and I was talking about this conundrum. And, of course, I took a ton of heat because everybody said, well, you're not finding employees because you're not paying a living wage.
Oh, that's right? A bunch of garbage, by the way.
Well, and, you know, and look.
First of all, Andrew, real quick, I'm going to stop you for a second. Real quick, define to me what that is, please.
Yeah, what is it?
Because I've always wanted somebody to tell me, what is a living wage?
Yeah, what does it look like?
Well, it's funny you say that. So that's what I was going to get into, right? Because I'm the type of guy where if I start to take a lot of heat, I'm willing to listen, right? Let's talk this through. We may not agree on things, but let's talk this through so that we can kind of understand each of our sides on this. So I looked it up, and I talked to a couple professors, and I started to look into this notion of a living wage. Now, there's various calculators where you can determine what a living wage is. So we're offering right now, for specifics, $20 to $25 an hour for entry-level cooks and dishwashers.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Okay? So I got crushed for that. Oh, you're complaining on Fox News about how you can't find workers. Why don't you pay people more? And I said, I am. Look, here's the ads. I'm paying $20 to $25 an hour. That's not a living wage. Well, guess what? The MIT calculator states in California, where we are, living wage is $17.44 an hour, right?
Wow.
Now, what's very interesting about this living wage conversation is it scales. So if you're single with no kids, it's one number. If you're a single parent with X number of kids, it's a totally different number. If you are married, it's a lower number.
Right.
So all that this living wage conversation does is it forces people to hire single young kids.
Yeah.
It's actually going to discriminate against, if you implement this calculus into restaurants, it's going to discriminate against single parents, you know, because the living wage under that rubric is a lot higher. So I think it's a disingenuous argument, one that I'm more than willing to have. But the reality of the situation right now in the labor force is there's three things that are driving the unemployment problems. It's number one, people are making enough on unemployment to wait this thing through. That
exactly.
does not mean they're lazy. It could very well mean that they were hired, fired so many times they've said, screw it, I'm going to see this thing through. Because who knows if we don't get shut down again, right?
Right.
Number two, in states where schools are closed, parents cannot watch they need to choose between
right.
paying somebody to watch their kids or watching them themselves.
Right.
And number three, and this is something that I'm dealing with, and there's anecdotal evidence behind this on my behalf, but a lot of these young workers do not want to be working in the restaurant industry where they're being forced to act as deputies, if you will, enforcing mask policy, vaccine policy. And there's a lot of nutcases out there right now.
Right.
We
right.
had somebody the other day, two little old ladies without masks on, and some guy, what I thought was a normal guy, flips a chair in the restaurant, starts screaming in these little old ladies' faces. The poor girl working behind the counter went back in the kitchen, was crying. She came to me afterwards and was like, look, I can't work in this environment anymore. It's not you. It's not what I'm getting paid.
Yeah.
It's I can't deal with these people.
That's so true. It's so hostile. Yeah. And these hostesses and the way, like, they're having to suddenly enforce stuff.
We are requiring things out of them, Andrew, that, by the way, to your point, we should not be requiring in the first place. On the same token, even though some of us may get very frustrated with some of the rules that a particular restaurant may have, that particular individual is typically, I realize there's some Karens in that role that really love to enforce the rules, but by and large, typically, Andrew, they're just there to enforce the rules that some either district manager or owner has, you know, placed upon them, and they're just the messenger.
Yeah. They just want to keep it simple, right?
Right.
I mean, you're just you're a kid. You're like, hey, here's your seat, here's your water, I'll get your menu. Hmm. Like they don't.
I've ran into a few Karens though, where they make it really not fun to actually
do
business there. But you know, that's a different story, Andrew.
It's unbelievable though, because now what's happened is that we've become so divided, and there's many people. And look, don't get me wrong, the lion's share of people are still really good, compassionate,
right.
heartfelt Americans, right? But of course, the extremes and the loudest voices is what we think is the norm, and that's not always the case. But those extremes have gotten a lot louder, if you will, right?
Mm.
So what we're seeing in a retail environment is you're seeing people who are now going in looking for fights.
Right.
Mm. Right.
Yes.
And it's it's real unfortunate. And I think, of course, social media exacerbates a lot of
this.
They
do. And then, yes.
And politicians drive it even more, because the more they can drive the wedge, yep. the more they can try and garner support from their supporters and financial donations, et cetera. It's a real difficult and I think toxic cycle.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. All right, before we go any further with you, Andrew, I do want to take time, as we always do, talk about the funds you're trying to raise, how you're trying to help these restaurants and the workers in those restaurants, and it's a great thing you've got going on. It's the 86 Restaurant Struggle. Talk about that.
Thank you so much for bringing that up. Yeah, we started that after the 20th lockdown here in California, when there were no unemployment benefits available in December going into the holidays. So we started raising money to give to restaurant workers who were struggling, needed to pay bills, utilities, so they weren't piling up on debt. These are the brothers and sisters in the mm-hmm. restaurant industry, the dishwashers that keep everything going. We're still raising funds, but it's not necessary. It's a lot more targeted now, because now as people are reopening, people are able to find jobs, but there still are a ton of people who are struggling, have a lot of back debt that hasn't gotten taken care of. The government's still collecting bills. IRS is still coming after everybody. Utility bills need to be paid. But we're also helping single-owner operators, right? So food trucks, cafes, catering companies.
Awesome.
That's the forgotten-about element of the restaurant industry, where people are just starting off trying to get their, beta their concept, and they got hit so hard by the pandemic, and they're not getting PPP funds. So that's kind of what we've parlayed into. The website is the number 86struggle.com. That's 86struggle.com.
Awesome. And by the way, again, folks, we will have all of that on the website later tonight, our Facebook page as well. Andrew, I mean, I heart goes out to you. I appreciate what you're trying to do for the restaurant community itself, and I know you're part of that, but I really do appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah.
You got a great heart. You're a great guest. You and I think really straight on this particular topic, and all I can say is we're going to do our best to continue to promote what you've got going on and try to get as many people to help you as we can.
Yeah. And I'm on your Twitter right now. I'm like, oh my gosh, these pictures of food.
I know.
It's like,
awesome.
Get out of here. I have to go, like, I'm starving, like, looking at it. Suddenly I realize I'm really hungry. Oh my gosh.
So it's is that Twitter still won't activate the scratch and sniff effect.
Oh, I know.
Oh,
doggone
it. Oh
my
gosh. That would do damage.
Andrew, it's a joy having you. Again, folks that are listening, please go to 86. It's the number, 86struggle.com. Andrew, we'll have you back. It's always good to hear from you. And just keep up the great work, sir.
Thank you so much. Be good, everyone.
You're very welcome, man. I appreciate it. He's a great guy, by the way, and even was willing to – his original time slot was when Kevin Flesch was on the other day, and he was kind enough to say, nope, you're doing that all – I'll switch times,
and
he's just a great guy.
Yeah.
So if you guys think about it and you've got a chance to actually go to the website and help these different restaurants that Andrew himself is trying to help out, keep in mind, when it comes to restaurants especially, this was not their choice.
No.
They did not decide that I need to, operate at 20% capacity or 50% capacity or whatever the case may be. This was not their choice. This was foisted upon them.
Yeah.
Okay? And still is in a lot of cases.
Yeah. And to practice generosity.
Yes.
Right?
Help
you
them
know?
Out.
Yeah.
Help
Just
them out.
Understand their struggle.
That's
really.
Right. All right. We'll come right back. By the way, American National Insurance is up next, folks. And insurance, yes, we need it. I know a lot of you don't like paying the bill, but the reality is we got to have it. It's a law that you have it when you drive. You wouldn't want to go without it, by the way, at all. And on top of that, you need to make sure your home is insured and so on. And one thing that we don't talk enough about, and Paul can explain, is for those of you out there that maybe have some assets and a business or some things along those lines, if you don't have an umbrella policy now, you should have one. In fact, a lot of you individuals should have an umbrella policy. It's something Paul can help you with. 303-662-0789.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
John Rush will give you the confidence to grow. Every single one of the businesses coached by John Rush made more money last year, and most of them are either moving into larger facilities or expanding to add new locations, because all of them chose to move forward aggressively rather than letting fear hold them back. John Rush will help you take the emotions out of your decisions, starting with the way you manage your employees. Send him an email now, john@rushtoreason.com.
Leadership is not only what you say, it's what you do. The Trump administration's policies empowered America to become energy independent for the first time in 50 years. In just 4 months, the Harris-Biden-Rice administration has brought us gas shortages and $3 a gallon gas. Kim Munson here. Friday, my fellow Liberty Toastmasters share their thoughts about leadership. Owner of Castlegate Knife and Tool, Hal Van Herke, explains entrepreneurial leadership. That's Friday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560 and KLZ 100.7 FM.
Communication is power. Want to be a better communicator? Check out Liberty Toastmasters. Find more details at kimmunson.com. Toastmasters, where leaders are made.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Rachel Keene, conservative mama, Charlie Grimes, of course, our engineer, and Kurt Rogers walked in a moment ago. We'll have him at the top of the hour here at 5 o'clock, and again, we're going to talk about appraisers and just different things along those lines, and, you know, how does your house appraisal work if, for example, you're paying more than what the appraisal is, and so on. We'll get into some of that with Kurt here at the top of the hour. In the meantime, though, Scott Garlis joining us now from Stansberry Research. Scott, I had to move things around this week just because of the way things have been, and it's been a very, very busy week, so thanks for changing, number one. Number two, though, what's going on in the markets? What can we expect? There have been a lot going on in the crypto world. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, sure. So, with the crypto world, there's a really, really good investing lesson this week. So, before we go on that, we can talk about the markets really quickly. Again, people are concerned about inflation. We had some data points come out from the Fed the other day, and what they said was they're going to stay the course with policy right now. And, you know, they'll talk about dialing it back if they see sort of the jobs numbers start to pick back up in the back half of this year, or even, you know, if they happen by the end of the summer, okay, that's when that conversation will start. But for the time being, you know, they're going to keep going. I mean, that should be good for the market for the time being.
Okay. All right. We'll take that for now.
Well, I mean, you know, in terms of the stock market, I mean, if we think about it, a lot of people look at that as sort of their self-worth. And mm-hmm. Sort of like when your house price goes up.
Right.
You feel like you're worth a lot more, so you're going to spend more.
Right.
So that's a good thing. So we want that to happen, or certainly at least stay stable. I think you're looking at a market that's higher by the end of the year, certainly. Now, I don't know you're going to see like a 50% gain,
okay,
but we should still see some good returns.
Okay. All right, let's talk about, again, crypto, Elon Musk, some of what he's working on when it comes to, you know, carbon credits, and he wants a carbon tax now in the U.S., again, because that's some of the ways he's made money, because he sells those things off, and, you know, I think a lot of folks forget that if it hadn't have been for some of those credits that Tesla sells, they would not be profitable.
Yeah.
That is completely right. And it was a really interesting lesson Elon put out there this week. And it's a reminder of why you want to be diversified when you invest.
Right.
You don't want to have all your eggs in one basket.
Right.
And a lot of people have been caught up in this crypto crisis.
Right.
And so what happened was last weekend, Musk came out on Twitter and said, you know, hey, look, he started criticizing Bitcoin's energy usage. And if you go look at cryptos, in terms of the energy usage for transactions, Bitcoin is the highest.
Right.
This is going to happen as technologies are new and they learn and they improve and they eventually get better. But he said that Tesla wasn't going to accept Bitcoin as a payment anymore.
Right,
and he basically destroyed the value of a lot of cryptocurrencies.
Yeah, it took a lot of it. You know, literally, it sort of vanished overnight, right?
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. So when this came, it really caught up. You know, like Tuesday we saw Bitcoin dropped. I want to say it was around like 30.
I was gonna say 30% or so, right?
Yeah, and Ether or Ethereum. I always call it Ether for some reason. Ethereum dropped about 45% in one day before rebounding.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't his reasoning because Bitcoin wasn't clean? Because of mining and all that. Am I correct on that? Or
And what he cited was the energy usage per transaction was extremely high. Yes. And that's what really caused the problem. I mean, if you go and look at it, Bitcoin consumes 707 kilowatt hours per transaction. A light bulb, a 100 watt light bulb running for 10 hours uses 1 kilowatt hour.
Yeah. So it's a lot. Yeah, these are, for those of you that maybe don't understand how the mining works, these are tethered computers that are using lots of power, lots of GPU and CPU power combined to where they're doing this mining. And to your point, they are using a ton of energy to make that happen.
To the point that
if Bitcoin drops enough, it's not worth mining.
Right.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And so what people don't think about, and I'm sure Elon doesn't really consider either, is there are a lot of people that are involved in these things. They've done this with leverage, and they've used leverage. They've also taken their gains in this and used leverage to buy things like Tesla stock.
Right.
Yeah.
Some of the irony of this too is that Tesla cars are electric vehicles, right?
Mm-hmm.
But how is that electricity generated?
Right.
Some of it generated solar, sure. Some of it generated wind, sure it is.
Most of it's nuclear, gas, or coal.
Yeah.
Exactly, which in coal and gas, especially coal, pollutes almost as much as a gasoline-powered car does.
Right.
More.
Yeah, more.
Right.
Most gasoline-powered cars today, being a car guy that I am, for all of you listening, most gasoline-powered cars are putting out minuscule amounts of pollution today. It's nothing.
Right.
Yeah, so I
always hate to say this because I don't want somebody going out and trying this, but to the point, Scott, where in the old days, if you wanted to commit suicide, you parked in the garage, you shut all the doors, you fired the car up, and you died. In today's world, it's not so easy because that's how clean the cars are.
Wow.
Electric
cars are not as clean, technically, think they are.
No, if you take an electric car, and I don't want to get off on a tangent, but if you take an electric car and look at everything that goes into it, including the strip mining for the rare earth metals that go into the battery packs and so on, Scott, it is probably the farthest thing from being environmentally friendly there is.
Totally, and think about all the copper that is plastic. Yes,
that's right.
I'm with you. It's they're very conductive metals, and you need them.
It's a very much misled area where people think they're helping the planet, quote unquote, by buying an electric car, but the reality is it's the farthest thing from it.
Completely. Right.
So, Scott, would you advise no on this cryptocurrency stuff?
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
There was something else that's really going on there, and this is what John alluded to earlier. So what didn't really make the media headlines off of this, because it is Elon Musk is renewing calls for a carbon tax in the United States. He said he tweeted at the beginning of the week, I believe it was maybe the end of last week, for a carbon tax. Earlier this year, he said he'd been to the White House and spoken with Biden about possibly implementing one. But the big thing here is one of the biggest companies that buys Tesla's carbon credits over in Europe.
Yeah.
Is Fiat Chrysler.
Yeah, Chrysler, right. Because they don't have enough electric EV vehicles to offset their CAFE rating, so they need the credits.
Exactly. And since 2019, they've paid about $2.4 billion.
To Tesla for their credits.
Yep. And so Tesla would not have been a profitable company the last six quarters without these carbon credits.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Right.
So
that's right.
Fiat Chrysler recently merged with
Stellantis.
Peugeot. Yes,
Stellantis bought them, which is Peugeot, which for all of you listening is a big European car manufacturer that bought FCA and they, although Scott, do have some of those other vehicles we're talking about that are going to now start coming to the U.S. and will change the amount of credits they're buying from Tesla.
Completely, they don't need Tesla's credits
anymore. That's right.
And Stellantis, by the way, is based in the Netherlands, which is a huge tax haven.
Right.
But that aside, they plan on selling 400,000 electric vehicles per year.
Right. Which will be more than enough for them to handle what they need.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the management team said on the quarterly conference call at the beginning of this month that they're going to save roughly $360 million a year by not paying Tesla for those credits anymore.
So what does this mean for Tesla and for
means
cryptocurrency
a loss of revenue
and all this stuff? Right.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, that 400,000 figure that Stellantis talks about is just shy. It's about 100K short of what Tesla produces annually.
Yeah. So to John's point there, too, is Tesla's going to see a whole lot more competition really quickly.
Which I've always said, Tesla, by the way, for all of you listening, I still feel is way overvalued. These guys on Wall Street, you know, think highly, and they think a lot of Elon Musk, and they think he's some sort of a messiah. He is not. And to my point, my feeling, Scott, is it's completely overvalued.
I am with you there. So like $240 million annually is what Stellantis was paying.
Right.
That's what they said. It's a big number. You're eliminating a huge number from Tesla's balance sheet, and then on top of that, in the last quarter, they made $100 million from selling Bitcoin.
Oh wow!
They own $2 billion worth of Bitcoin.
Oh, I did not know this.
Yeah.
Yes, and if just based on their car sales, they're not a profitable company.
But isn't Elon into some other?
He is. We can talk to Scott next week about that. All right, Scott, I got to run. Top of the hour. Appreciate it, man. Always good stuff.
Yep. Thank you.
You bet. Appreciate it very much. Stansberry Research is where you can find Scott. All the good stuff you need for, he always says, the little guy. So go there, check it out. And by the way, if you do anything there at all, please let Scott know that you'll hear him on Rush to Reason. We appreciate that very much. A Good Shop is up next, folks. And there's 3 locations to serve you up in the north part of town. Anything you need when it comes to a collision and getting it repaired or just getting your detail back into that new shape that you would like it to be, 720-541-7697. That's A Good Shop. Find him at klzradio.com.
Al and his team at A Good Shop advocate for you behind the scenes so you can live your life. You may not understand the complicated details of your auto body insurance claim. You just want your vehicle back to pre-accident condition in a reasonable amount of time. Once you drop off your vehicle at A Good Shop, they will take it from there as you are updated throughout the repair process. Al and Jamie Sturm earn OE certifications for name brands like Subaru, Ford, and many others so they can provide the parts recommended by your vehicle's manufacturer. They will work with your insurance company to replace parts that are best for your vehicle. A Good Shop wants to fix your vehicle right, so they contact parts suppliers so your insurance dollars stretch even further. Meanwhile, you keep living your life. A Good Shop in North Glen and Commerce City. Certified collision repair worth referring. Fill out the contact form now at klzradio.com/collision for $100 off your repairs.
We're back. Charlie, by the way, our engineer just said, and I'll talk to Kurt about this in a moment, there are some mortgage companies and realtors even that are offering some Bitcoin quote-unquote rebates for certain things they do in their world, which may be worth a lot of money someday or may be worth nothing someday.
So I don't know how to feel. I don't know what to feel about it.
Oh, I wouldn't put a lot of money into it. That's me. A lot of people out there would disagree, but if you've got a little extra money to spend and burn or whatever and you want to put a little bit into crypto, great.
Right.
Be my guest, but I wouldn't.
Could lose it.
If you lose it, it's just been a fun time. That's all you can say. But, you could make out really big. It just depends on how you work it.
Yeah.
Rachel, as always.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us. I know you're going to head out, so I appreciate it. Kurt's going to join us in just one moment. Hour number 3 is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.